We've been looking at the names of the Lord, which I have done for many years at Christmas time. We look at the names of the Lord because God has given us over 700 names that I have accumulated looking into the Word of God. Others have looked into the Word of God and they found over 1,000 names and identities of the Lord for us. So we will never exhaust all the names of the Lord. We'll never get to know Him in all the ways that He wants us to know Him. But He has given us those names that we might grab those names and hold on to them and cling to them, because with every name comes a promise. And so we have these displays for you. Up front, we have these little cards with names of the Lord on, and we have the same at the back. You are welcome to come and choose one of those names as you prayerfully consider what name the Lord wants you to take into the next year. We do that year by year. My wife and I have done it for many years. We passed it on to other churches, and they're doing it. We also have the wooden ornaments that go on their tree that represent the names of the Lord. I have chosen the name of the Lord for me this year, and it is, God is my dwelling place. So that's my ornament as I put it on the tree, and actually I'll put it in my study and have it on the board. So it's constantly reminding me that the Lord is my dwelling place. And you can find the name of the Lord that best fits who you are and where you are and what you want God to do. There are books at the back. No sweeter name are the New Testament names of the Lord. They are free for you to take, one per person. And if you want one for a friend, you can buy those. They're $10 each. You can leave that in the offering plate. And our desire is the Lord blesses you as you meditate on the names of the Lord. In this Christmas season, we are looking at four of those names: the Waymaker, the Miracle Worker, the Promise Keeper, and the Light in the Darkness. And this morning we are looking at the Lord as our Promise Keeper. He is the one who keeps promises. He is the Lord, and He does not fail. The Word of God this morning is from Psalm 145 and verse 11. And there are many scriptures I'm going to give you, but this is our focal point. The Lord is faithful to all His promises and loving toward all He has made. Let me repeat that again, because it's a powerful scripture that encapsulates all of God's promises. The Lord is faithful to all His promises and loving toward all He has made. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can stand on the promises, we can sit on the promises, we can claim the promises, we can name them, we can read them, we can memorize them, but most of all, Lord, we can pray those promises because You are faithful and true. I pray that Your word would echo in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever told a lie? I want you to think about that. Have you ever fudged on the truth? Not the whole truth and everything that it's absolutely true. Have you ever fibbed? They call it a white lie. Have you ever made a promise and not kept it? The beginning of our football season, there were great promises by the Steelers. I'm sure they have good intentions, and I'm sure the coach is really frustrated right now, and I know Roethlisberger is very frustrated, because all the promises that they made and all the hopes that they had were dashed. And you may watch them play at 1 o'clock this afternoon, but I think you'd be better off taking a nap. There are promises that people make that they can't possibly keep. In our present day, there are often times when I hear people saying, "I'll promise you that, I'll promise you that." You can't promise anything because you don't have the power to fulfill it. And there might be a few promises that you can fulfill, but most of all, we as God's people, we as human beings are promise breakers, not promise keepers. In a few weeks, you will enter into 2022. Think about that. 2022. It's time for New Year's resolutions. Another word for that is New Year's promises. I'm going to do better this year. And as we said as when we were little kids, liar, liar, pants on fire, can't get over the telephone wire. You can make all the promises you want, but you don't have the power to keep all the promises. We are promise breakers. But God Himself says, "I am the promise maker." When I make promises, I fulfill my promises. God has given us thousands, hundreds and thousands of promises throughout His Word. And all of those are yes and amen. Three truths this morning concerning the promise maker, that the Lord is the promise maker. First of all, God makes promises. We're going to look at that in the Word of God. And secondly, God puts conditions on His promises. And thirdly, God fulfills His promises. So first of all, we look at God makes promises. Do you know that God made promises when He created man? He created Adam and Eve. He created that whole situation of our earth and all that was in it. And then He gave it to Adam and Eve. And He said, I want you to take care of it. And I am going to take care of you. And He says, I've given you everything except for two trees. Do not touch those two trees. And the promise is interesting because He says, do not touch those trees. Do not touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For the day that you eat thereof, you will die. In other words, God was saying, I'm giving you a promise of a limitless life upon the earth. As long as you don't touch that tree. And we know what happens. Temptation comes around and we believe Satan, who lied to Eve, and Eve went to her husband and lied to her husband. And well, here we go. And we've got the results of that. All of the things that are bad in the earth, all of the death, all the COVID, all the diseases, all the tragedies of life have come because man disobeyed the Lord, did not fulfill His promise. But God made a promise to Adam and Eve, even after all of that. He said in chapter 3 and verse 15, I will put an enmity between you and the serpent. And you will crush his head and he will bruise your heel. It's a foretaste. It's a prediction of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to crush Satan under our feet. God gave a promise. God gave a promise and He's going to fulfill it. From Adam all the way through the book of Revelation is filled with promises. Then God gave a promise to the earth with Noah and the flood. At the end of the flood in Genesis chapter 9 verses 8 to 17, God says, I will never again flood the earth. And He said, I will give you a sign of this promise, and that is the rainbow in the sky. So every time you see a rainbow, you can know that God says, I will not break this promise. It is true. I will never again flood the whole earth in judgment. That's a wonderful promise. It's nice to know. Every time you see a rainbow, that says, God, I'm reminded that God is faithful to all His promises. How many colors do you see in the rainbow? I'm colorblind or color challenged, so when the rainbow comes, I have to take it by faith that you tell me there are many colors in that rainbow. Actually, one time my wife and I were traveling and I took a picture of a rainbow. It was back in the days of your film and the camera, and it was black and white film. I took a picture of the rainbow. It's the same to me. But that's a promise that God says, I will not break. And then God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm going to make an everlasting promise with you and to your people. And that you will have as many children as the sands of the sea and as the stars of heaven. And I will fulfill this promise. And then God comes to Israel and promises Israel that they are a nation and they will never fail to be a nation. And I'm amazed how many theologians and how many pastors and teachers today are saying that Israel is forgotten by God. Israel is rejected by God. We are the new Israel. And Israel doesn't have any more promises. But read Jeremiah 33. And I want to turn to that. Actually, I have it in my notes, so it'll save some time me finding it. But in Jeremiah 33, God says this, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. This is what the Lord says. If you break my commandment with the day and my covenant with the night, so that the day and night no longer come at the appointed time, then my covenant with David, my servant, my covenant with the Levites who are priests ministering before me can be broken and David will no longer have a descendant to reign on his throne. I will make the descendants of David, my servant, the Levites who minister before me, as countless as the stars of the sky and as measureless as the sand of the seashore. God is saying to Israel by Jeremiah. Jeremiah preceded the great captivity that went on where they were taken away into captivity into Babylon. But God said, I am going to fulfill my promise. You broke your promise to me, but I'm going to fulfill that promise and make you a great nation. So as you look at the newspapers and you see things happening in Israel, know that God is at work fulfilling His promise to Israel. Then we come to Isaiah. Isaiah talks about the captivity that was going to come to Assyria, that the people were going to be carried away. 10 of the tribes of Israel were going to be carried away and never again to be brought back until the end days. But God prophesies through Isaiah in the first 39 chapters that this is going to happen, that judgment was going to come. But then in chapter 40, and it's a good Christmas verse, it says, comfort ye my people, saith our Lord. That is a wonderful promise. Do you remember that song from the Messiah? Shall I sing it for you? No, I won't. comfort ye my people. God says, okay, now it's time to tell them about the promises of God. And from chapter 40 all the way through the end, chapter 65, God has given numerous promises. I have them written up on a chart, and you will see one after another and after another. And there are so many, they're hard to count. Let me list a few of them that God says to not only Israel, but to his people, all people of all time. God says, I will be with you. I will answer you. I will help you. I will hold you. I will hold your hand. I will walk with you through the fire. I will make a way in the desert. I will blot out your transgressions. I will pour water on the thirsty. I will give you treasures. I will carry you. I will do all I please. I will answer you. I will never forget you. I will contend for you. I will give you beauty for ashes and act on your behalf. And that's only a few. I want to challenge you to go to our website, www.prayertoday.org, and on the right-hand side, you'll see 365 promises compiled for you to see them, and many of those are from the book of Isaiah, where God is saying to his people, I have promised these things for you. When you as a believer, you as a born-again child of God, are struggling with anything, God has a promise for you. As a matter of fact, God has multiple promises for you. I was going through some of my promise charts, and I'm a list maker. I make lists, and I go through the scriptures, and I pull out the scriptures, and I spent many, many hours going through and pulling out the promises of God. And I have another article which goes on for 37 pages, 18 promises on every page, 37 pages. It's about 670 promises of God for every believer, for every situation that you ever face. There are promises about prayer, promises about protection, about finances, about temptation, about strength, about security, about provision, about healing, about anxiety, about stress, about doubt, about suffering, about the Word of God, about God's faithfulness and God's help, and when you're lonely, and He provides you with peace, and His character never changes, and He promises your children, He promises comfort to you, and restoration, and victory, and forgiveness, and guidance, and on it goes. Folks, this is amazing that God has given you at least 670 promises. That every day of your life you could take a promise and cling to it and know that God says, I will fulfill this. But He expects you to believe Him for it, because that's the catalyst. God gives a promise and He says, believe me. He gave the promise to Abraham, and yet Abraham was 99 years old before the promise of having a child came into his life. How many of you are 99 years old? Not many. We have a 90-year-old here. We know that because we had a birthday party. Now, Anna Louise, would you like to become pregnant at your age? Sarah was 89 years old. And Abraham got frustrated, and he said, Lord, perhaps you have a different way. And so he married another wife, the handmaiden, and thought he could have a child through that. And God said, no, I don't do seconds. I do the promise that I gave you, a son. And I promised that you at 89 years old, she became pregnant. As a matter of fact, when the angel of the Lord came and visited them and promised that, she was behind the angel in the tent, and she giggled out loud. When you're 89 years old and somebody tells you you're going to get pregnant, you just kind of laugh and say, yeah, right, that's going to happen. And the angel said, I heard that. It's like true. In the scriptures, he said, I heard that. You laughed. And she lied. There we go again. A man lies. But God does not lie. And he said, about a year from now, you'll see that it's true. And Sarah brought forth a son. God fulfilled his promises. God fulfills his promises not only to Adam and Eve and the earth and Abraham and Israel and the people in Isaiah's day, but he's also given us promises. He gives us promises of Jesus Christ. Back in Isaiah 7:14, and this will be a sign unto you. A virgin shall be with child, and will call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 9:6, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Chapter 11 of Isaiah talks about a branch springing out, and that's Jesus. In Isaiah 53, it talks about the crucified Lord, Jesus suffering on the cross and bearing the sins of many. All of these are promises for us. But in the New Testament, God gives each one of us promises to live by. In Luke 12:32, he says, "Fear not, my little children, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." I think every believer needs to take that and put it on a bulletin board somewhere. Put it on your refrigerator, because that's where you visit most often. Right? Put it on your refrigerator that God says to you, and he says to me, "Fear not, little child, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." That means all the promises of God are yes and amen. God says in him it's yes, and in him it's amen. It's not no, and it's not maybe. It is yes. The promises of God are yes and amen. So God makes promises. The second thing I want us to see is that God makes conditions, or sets conditions for his promises. Some of his promises are unconditional. That means even when you fail, God is still faithful and he fulfills his promises. Hebrews 11:6 says it this way. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, there's a condition for the promise. You must believe that he is. All right, let's see a show of hands. How many of you believe that God exists? Raise your hand. Raise your left hand. Some of you. Okay, you're listening. Now, how many of you believe that he does not exist? Raise your right hand. Well, you believe he exists, you're halfway there. The second part of that covenant relationship, that condition for the promise, is that you believe that God is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. The problem in our day is we've become suspicious about God. We have had some disappointments in life. And then we start to think, well, maybe God isn't faithful. Maybe God isn't listening. Maybe God is not fulfilling his promise. And so we have many believers who are disbelievers. They are doubting Thomases. They do not grab the promise. It says that Abraham grabbed the promise of God. He held on to the promise of God. And he did not stagger through unbelief. He didn't start to think, oh, God failed me. God quit. He believed it right to the end. And God fulfilled his promise. In John 15:7, Jesus says concerning prayer for every believer, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it will be done unto you." Do you believe that? I believe he exists. How many? Raise your hand. Do you believe this, what Jesus said? That if you're his child and you abide in him and his word abides in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done on you. As I taught on prayer for many years, I had several pages, I think it was 3 pages, of small print of all the promises of the Lord that he gives to us, and a check mark, a little block where you can check what ones of these do you believe and are you claiming before the Lord. And I had people go through that and start marking them. Most people just stop on each one and ask me a couple questions. Well, does he really mean that? Does he mean something else? See, we're full of doubts and questions. Rather than taking God at his word, and the condition for the promise to be fulfilled is that you abide in him and his word abides in you. You'll ask what he will and it will be done. In 1 John 5:14, it says, "If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." That is used so often as an escape for believing God's promises. Well, I don't know what his will is. How can I know his will? Therefore, I can't pray in faith and believe God for anything. Well, you just took the baby and threw it out with the bathwater. You can't do that. You know the will of God. It's revealed in the word of God. Therefore, when God gives you a promise, you could take that promise before the throne and claim it. You could say, "Lord, you said this. I didn't say this. I didn't make it up. You said it. And I'm going to cling to it. I'm going to hang on to it until you fulfill your promise to me." Every promise in the word of God is like that. All 670 of them. I challenge you to go on the website and get that. The one that's on the website right now is about 20 pages. The one with 670 is 37 pages long. You will get exhausted reading the promises of God. And that's purposeful. God wants you to know that you are being inundated with God's promises and his faithfulness. In 2 Peter, he says, "There are given unto us great and exceeding precious promises, many great and exceeding precious promises, that by these we might be takers, partakers of his divine nature. In other words, God has given these promises so that we might have everything that we need in life and for godliness. What a wonderful truth of God's word. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and does he not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? And the answer to that is no. What God has promised, he will do because he is faithful. He makes conditions. Those conditions are to believe the promise of God. God makes a condition of one of the greatest promises of all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Here's the condition. That whosoever believes, trusts in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the first promise you need to claim before God. That you're a sinner and you need to be saved. You're on your way to perish because God has ordained to rescue you from hell. And now you need to put your trust in Jesus Christ. Ask him to come into your heart and life and be your Savior. And cling to him and cling to that promise. John 3:16. How many of you have memorized John 3:16? Sometime in your life you've memorized it. I'm not going to challenge you and make you quote it out loud. But I think it's important that we nail our faith to that. That we have become children of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ because of John 3:16. God makes the condition, whosoever believes in him. And finally, God fulfills all his promises. He does. He's not a man that he should lie. He doesn't fib. He doesn't renege. He doesn't cheat on his promises. He loves to fulfill his promises. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. I want to challenge you in the first, what is it, the first 4 weeks of January. You can read through each of the Gospels, one each week. And go through and find the promises of God that Jesus has promised for you. And lay hold of those promises because he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. The Lord has promised and he is faithful. He is true. And God has sworn to his promises. God doesn't need to swear to his promises because he doesn't need anybody higher than himself to guarantee his oath. But in Hebrews 6, it says, wherein God willingly to more abundantly show the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, that it's impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation, who have fled to for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, which is sure and steadfast. That's a wonderful promise. He is an anchor of our soul. His anchor will not be moved. When you anchor yourself to the Word of God and the faithfulness of God, you will find his promises are true. I want to challenge you this morning. God has promised us in his Word that all of his promises will be fulfilled and he will do what he says. But most of us are like Thomas. We struggle and we say, but I don't know that God's going to do that. I've written a book called Restoring Shattered Faith. Because my faith was shattered when our 12-year-old daughter died in an accident. Oh, it didn't shatter all at once. It shattered over a period of time. Looking back on that and wondering, where was God? Why didn't he answer? Why didn't he save my daughter? Why didn't he heal her? Why didn't he raise her from the dead? And within 2 years, my faith was gone, and I stood before the Lord and said, I can't believe you anymore. All your promises are lies. You don't do what you said. And in those moments, God spoke to my heart very clearly, because I was ready to quit it all. And he said, can you believe me for one thing? And I yelled at God. I was in the car, sitting by a dumpster, next to the McDonald's restaurant. That's how low I was. I went to McDonald's. And then I parked by the dumpster. And I was crying. I was sobbing. And God said, can you believe me for one thing? And I said, I can't believe you for anything. You lied in the thing that I needed most. I wanted my daughter and I want her back. And you didn't do it. You failed me. I can't believe any of your promises because you broke that one. And God came back again and said, can you believe me for just one thing? thing. And I said, Lord, you heard me. I can't believe you for anything. I don't have any more faith. It's gone. It's exhausted. It's run out. I don't have any more. And the third time the voice of the Lord came to me and he said, can you believe me for just one thing? And it's funny now looking back. It wasn't funny when it happened. I said out loud, what one thing? And God whispered, I do not lie. And I sobbed and I wept and I said, but it sure feels like you lied. And I said, God, if I'm going to trust you at all, you have to give me faith because I don't have any more. And God said, I will give you that seed of faith. And I want you to get into the Word of God and read of my faithfulness. For God says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. God began to restore my faith. The rest of the story is written in that book, and you're welcome to have that sometime. Talk to me about it. I'll give you a copy of it. Not because I want you to read my book. My book is irrelevant, except that it points out that sometimes we lose our confidence. We lose our faith. It's shaken. It's withered. It's weakened. And God says, I want you to be strong in faith. Now I'm going to give you a closing remark that I want you to hold in your heart till the day that Jesus comes. Are you ready for that? You're going to have to write it down. Or if you have a photographic memory, I can do YMCA or something so you can remember it. It's three S's. Only three things hinder God from fulfilling His promises to you. Three things. First of all, sin begins with S. If you have sin in your heart, David says, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity, if I hold it in my heart, I cherish it, God will not hear me. It's a guarantee. Second is selfishness. James says, if we pray and ask for something to consume it upon our lust, we're just wanting stuff. Then God says, I'm not under any obligation to answer your prayer. Because God answers prayer for His glory and for your good, not for your riches. And not for your selfishness. So sin, selfishness, and the third one, the hardest of all, suspicion. If you're suspicious that God will not answer, God will not answer. Because His condition always is that you have faith. And faith has to stand on the Word of God. It has to be the anchor of the soul. You have to nail it to this Word. And that's why I say you need to take those promises and you need to put them before the Lord and read it back to God. You know, God loves that. It's His Word. And He said, I don't lie. So take it back to Him and say, Lord, you promised this for me. I'm not fulfilled. I'm not having that yet. It's not happened yet. And then you lay hold of that promise and say, Lord, I'm going to believe you until you fulfill it. No matter how long it lasts, how long it takes. And Peter says, God is not slack. He's not sluggish concerning His promises, as some men are sluggish. But God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And then he goes on to say, 1,000 years is as one day, and one day is as 1,000 years with the Lord. And God has given us all these wonderful and precious promises so that we might have everything that we need for life and godliness. Are you clinging to the promises of God? Are you believing God? Or are you just pretending to believe? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in this time of Christmas, we see the fulfillment of all your promises concerning your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter's affirmation and the Apostle Paul's affirmation that all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen. Help us to be true believers, that you are the promise maker and the promise fulfiller. Father, I pray for each one that's here today. They're struggling with some promise of God that they haven't seen fulfilled yet. Give them that seed of faith. Give them that anchor of their soul, the promise of God. So that they can anchor to it and cling to it and believe it until you answer. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand with me as we close with that wonderful chorus, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. That is a wonderful truth, and it echoes in our hearts this morning. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name. And that's the reason why I love Him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the promises of God, for the Word of God that You've given to us and entrusted us with it, that we can be lights in the darkness of this world. We can shine to the world with the truth of God's Word. Teach us to hide it in our hearts. Teach Your Word. Teach us Your Word so that we might claim it and hold on to it. And you may fulfill Your promises to us. Thank You for Your faithfulness. Go with us now. Make us lights in this darkness, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.